Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Powered by you.
Hello, hello.
Listener supported.
This is the Relevant Radio Summer Pledge Drive. Answer the call.
Hey, welcome to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. I actually thought that was my phone ringing for a second. Well, we're certainly going to be making the phones ring during this pledge week, but we have lots of great content. Don't forget, these are normal shows as well. Yeah, we don't have our special music, but that's okay. All the content is going to be exactly the same as you know and as you remember. So what we're going to do is we're going to start off the show, as we will start off every show this week, every hour. We're going to pray the Memorare and ask for Our Lady's help on this great Marian feast day, the Solemnity of the Assumption, and ask her for the help that we need. And we know we're going to get it from the Lord, and her intercession is going to absolutely be crucial. So let's pray together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was ever left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So good to be with you this week on the Cale Clark Show. We got a special treat coming up for you later in the program. The week that was from last week, we're going to start off Monday by looking back at all the fun things that we did last week to get your appetite even more ready for everything that's going to happen in the days to come. And like I said just a moment ago, and as you know, today is really a Class A feast day. It's a solemnity. It's the Assumption of Mary. And I don't know about you, but I find this doctrine of the Assumption one of the most challenging ones to try to explain to non-Catholic Christians. And we do have a lot of non-Catholic listeners to the program. Appreciate you so much. Some of you are Christians of another stripe, if you will. Perhaps you're from the Orthodox Churches of the East or one of the various Protestant denominations or part of the Free Church movement, whatever it may be, or maybe you're not even Christian at all. So happy to have you, whether you're a spiritual seeker or somebody who's confirmed in their faith, they're confident in it. We're all at some place on the journey. We don't arrive for sure until we get to the shores of heaven. But that's what this feast is all about, how God took up Mary, body and soul, into the glories of heaven. But it's an especially difficult doctrine to explain to Protestant friends and family members. And I just got back, I mentioned this a few days ago, I was on vacation in Eastern Canada and the Maritime Provinces, and hanging out with our great friends, Greg and Julie and their kids. My family and their family went to Prince Edward Island together, to Green Gables. We had lots of fun on the beach in Cavendish. And I know from my friend Greg, one of the things that he really has some issues with, you know, and he's sincerely asking questions about it, and I don't blame him, the Assumption of Mary. And there was definitely a time in my life when I had the same questions, the same doubts. Back when I was 21 years old, I was studying international business at Illinois State University, and I can remember very well going out for a Big Mac. I went out for a lot of Big Macs, still do, who doesn't? But I remember that particular evening, I was going out for a Big Mac with this guy named Jerry, who was an older guy, married, great family. He was the young adult pastor from the local Baptist church, and I'd kind of gotten to know him. You guys know a little bit about my background, my story about how I came really from being a cradle Catholic to being a nominal Catholic, kind of a C-no Catholic in name only. And when I was in high school, I kind of became an agnostic, never became an atheist, but I had real questions about faith. And when I was in university, that's when I started asking some tough questions. And some people from Jerry's Baptist church, it was called Calvary Baptist Church, knocked on my door, my off-campus student apartment. They were evangelizing door-to-door, much like some other non-Christian groups like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. And yes, they are non-Christian groups. Did a whole series on both of those groups on the Faith Explained show recently. You can check the archives on that one. But yeah, they were out. Why not? What, Christians can use those techniques as well. And so can Catholics. If you want to go door to door, no one's stopping you. So they were going door to door in student housing, on campus, off campus, wherever, trying to get the word out about Christ. And so anyways, one thing led to another. I met Jerry over Big Macs, and I'd gotten to the point where I believed that Christ was divine. I'd gotten to that place where I'd believed, based on the evidence, and the doubts I had were all about history, that the resurrection happened, that Jesus existed. And now the question was, where should I go to church? Okay, if I do believe Jesus is legit, he's real, where should I go to church? Should I go back to the Catholic faith of my youth, or should I leave? And Jerry was obviously trying to convince me to leave. And he was very sincere about it. And here's one of the things that he said to me. As we were dining at McDonald's, he was talking about the Assumption, today's feast day. And one of the things he said to me was that the Catholic Church, he said, invented, those are his words, the Assumption of Mary in the year 1950. Now, as you might know, if you're even a rudimentary student of church history, that's the year that the dogma, the infallible dogma of the Assumption, was officially defined, 1950. So Jerry says to me, 1950, I mean, that's almost 2,000 years after the time of Jesus. Where are they coming up with this stuff? They're making it up almost 2,000 years after the fact. Now, here's an embarrassing admission. I hate to have to tell you this, but at that point, I didn't even know what the Assumption was. I couldn't define it for you myself. That was the state of my Catholic formation at the time. And so I just kind of nodded my head in silence. And Jerry and I really had three things in common that day. Number one, we were both eating Big Macs. It's always a good thing. Number two, we were both sincerely seeking God. And number three, I don't think either one of us had any clue what Catholics really believed about the Assumption of Mary. So because it's August the 15th, because it is the Feast of the Assumption, guess what? Today's a really, really good day to run over some facets of this dogma and how to explain it, how to defend it, and make people understand it, or at least help people to understand it. So I don't know if you've had an issue along the same lines, or whether this is something that stumped you in your evangelistic efforts, or maybe you've got a great argument to help people see the truth of the Assumption. I want to hear from you. Now, you're going to hear a couple phone numbers during this week. One is the studio line to call, which is unchanged. It remains the same, 888-914-9149. You can always call in, even though it's Pledge Drive week. Don't forget that. So you might want to just pre-program these numbers into your phone. I don't know. 888-914-9149 is the toll-free line to call. And there's a separate Pledge Drive number, which we're going to give you in just a minute. Don't want to confuse you, so we'll just wait. Timory's going to join me in just a moment. But I want to hear about your experiences trying to defend the doctrine of the Assumption of Mary. So I'm going to tell you exactly what the definition is as the church laid it out in 1950, Pope Pius XII. I'll tell you what it is, because he did not waste words. He did not mince words. It's an economy of language. Every word is crucial in this definition. I'll share it with you right after this. So sit tight and don't forget to call in 888-914-9149. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Word for you right now from Father Rocky, our CEO here at Relevant Radio.
Hi, this is Father Rocky, the executive director of listener-supported Relevant Radio. Have you heard what we have for you today only? For a donation of $20 a month or $240 for the year? Our marketing folks are calling this a Father Rocky custom coffee mug. It's not your average coffee mug. It's ceramic and guaranteed to keep your coffee, tea, or hot chocolate warmer for longer. And written on the outside of the coffee mug is something you've heard me say often. The more you pray, the better things go. What a great way to start your day. Today only, the custom coffee mug is our thank you gift for your donation of $20 a month to Relevant Radio. And did I mention that we've got matching funds this hour? Donate now at relevantradio.com or tap on the Relevant Radio app, or you can call us at 877-291-0123. Thank you so much for your prayers and your financial support of Relevant Radio.
Welcome to the Cale Clark Show. We'll get back to programming in just a moment. It's Timory here with Cale Clark, and it is our pledge drive. End of the summer. Things are kicking into gear as we close the summer, and we need you to join us by answering the call here at Relevant Radio and supporting the work that we do every day along with you. The number is 1-877-291-0123 to give this hour. We need 150 people to step up. Give online, relevantradio.com, or again by calling 1-877-291-0123.
Absolutely, Timory. And so good to be talking with you once again. And yeah, so the record number of called-in gifts for today is 149. We want to try to beat that by one. We're going to try to go for 150. And you guys have been so generous throughout the day here on Relevant Radio. I mean, if things keep going at this pace, Timory, we might actually be able to pack it in on Thursday because we're doing really, really well. We have to raise $3 million this week, which sounds like a lot, but that's how much it costs to run Relevant Radio every quarter. We have almost 100 physical radio stations all across the United States of America. Nobody else does this. There's no other place where you can get Catholic programming on the radio 24/7, 365. Nowhere else can you get this. So it's really important to keep that all going, to keep the lights on, keep us on the airwaves. And something that's really important today too, Timory, is that any gift that anyone gives today is matched 100%. During this hour, this is a matching hour. So your gift is doubled. And this is an amazing gift that's been made possible by generous donors just like you. And don't forget, as you heard from Father Rocky, talk about coffee talk with Father Rocky, I'll tell you. If you come in at the $240 level or give $20 a month, you're going to get the Father Rocky custom coffee mug. Timory, I don't even have one of these, but you can get one if you call 877-291-0123 or go to the app or go online to relevantradio.com, Timory.
And it's rather stylish. It's white ceramic with that wooden cork type bottom. So it's something that you would actually enjoy having in your cupboard, because I know my mom tends to throw out all the mugs that don't match. But this one, again, has that beautiful quote, the more you pray, the better things go. And we are so thankful to people who have stepped up. Anonymous stepped up. San Diego, California, huge gift. $1,200. Thank you so much for giving online. Yes, and giving online, you get a special gift, that audio about the Eucharist, Eucharistic revival. So give now, 1-877-291-0123. And if you give online, you get that special extra gift as well as only a mug today.
Helping you keep your mind off traffic and on the more important things in life. It's Cale Clark on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the program. This is the Cale Clark Show, as you just heard on Relevant Radio. It's the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and it's a great chance to call in, talk about your experiences trying to share this teaching with others. It's not always the easiest one to defend, but it can be done. It can be done. We know that it's true. We have that legit backup because it's infallibly defined, so we can have confidence in it. God has established a teaching church in the Catholic Church. And you can call in right now. By the way, our studio line is 888-914-9149. So I promised you before we had our last break that I would give you the actual definition of the dogma as it was laid out in 1950 by Pope Pius XII. Now, it's really short. This could have been a tweet. This could have been a tweet by Pius XII, but here it is. He said this: Mary, the Immaculate, Perpetually Virgin Mother of God, after the completion of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into the glory of heaven. Short, sweet, powerful, true. Here it is again. Mary, the Immaculate, Perpetually Virgin Mother of God, after the completion of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into the glory of heaven. I love that definition because he was able to incorporate the other great titles of Our Lady, the fact that she's the Mother of God, another great Marian dogma, and really all of her special privileges flow from this title. The fact that she is ever virgin, that she's not only Mother of God, but perpetually virgin, and of course the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady. And so, yeah, he did, Pope Pius XII, define the dogma officially in 1950, but that doesn't mean that he invented it. My friend Jerry, the youth pastor, young adult pastor at this Baptist church that I met when I was in university, Jerry was a little bit confused, as I was too at the time, and many Catholics are today. There's a big difference between doctrinal invention, which is what Jerry thought was happening here, and doctrinal development, the development of doctrine. And just because the Pope officially defined this dogma of the Assumption of Mary in 1950 doesn't mean that Catholics didn't believe this before. It's a little bit like peeling back the layers of an onion. The Church continually is looking into the deposit of faith that was once for all handed on to the Church, as it says in Jude, verse 3. Yeah, Jude is so short. There are no chapters, just verses. And so these dogmas that are defined, I like to use the image of the Church is the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ. These dogmas are kind of like calluses, if you will, on the mystical body of Christ. Just like your own physical body, where when it comes up against resistance from the outside, when there's a threat. Well, guess what? When we're walking, our heels, you know, sometimes get calluses because they take a beating. They come up against the hard pavement, the stones, the rocks, whatever. So there's a barrier there that needs to be secure. And the same thing is true with these dogmas of the faith. They need to be defined to preserve an important truth about Christ, about our faith, and maybe just to give a message to the outside world as well. And I think that that's really a big part of what's going on with the Assumption of Mary. So let's go to James in Madison, Wisconsin. He's calling right now, and you can call in too, by the way, 888-914-9149. It's Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. James, what is your question about the Assumption?
Just a vague question about the necessity and the purpose of creating these dogmas that the church produces, and what and how it facilitates an individual's spiritual connection with our Lord Savior Jesus Christ.
Okay, so what? Oh, yeah, that's a good question. So what's the purpose of these church dogmas, doctrines in general? Well, if you look through church history, most of the big disputes, especially in the early centuries of the church, were all about the person of Jesus Christ. Who is he? Is he God? Is he man? Is he 100% God, 100% man, 50-50? What is it? And of course, the truth is that he is the God-man. He's 100% divine. He's a divine person who has taken on a human nature unto himself at the incarnation, of course, which we celebrate every March 25th. But having said that, most of the big disputes in the church with heretics were all about who is Jesus Christ? Does he have a human soul? And these are things that are really hard to figure out if it's just me and my Bible, for example. And probably the greatest heretic, we've talked about him before on the program, the greatest heretic, the greatest false teacher in the history of the church was this guy named Arius, who was a renegade bishop of Alexandria, and he almost tore the entire church apart because he just used biblical verses to try to prove that Jesus wasn't God, that he was simply a creature. And he had a really convincing argument just simply using the Bible alone. But he was wrong. He was wrong. Even though he got over half of the bishops in the entire church to believe his false teaching. Imagine that. I mean, this really threatened. This is a civil war within the church that could have ended really badly. But Christ has always promised that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He said that in John's Gospel, and that's exactly what happened. The Council of Nicaea condemned officially the views of the arch-heretic Arius, and that's why when you read the Nicene Creed, there's such a great big section in the middle about Jesus Christ. Who is he? And the fact that he is, in fact, God the Son. So these are really important because it's either true or it's not true. And when it comes to Marian doctrines and dogmas like the Assumption of Mary, I think one of the reasons why it was important to establish this, and I at some level I'm speculating a little bit on this, but Pope Pius XII, I mean, look at all the things that happened in the 20th century. By that point, when he defined it, two world wars, the 20th century, you know, we think about human progress, and there's this sort of secular idea that progress is going to just increase and things are going to get better and better and better. But there is so much devastation, so much inhumanity, so much doubt about the future of the world? Are we going to nuke ourselves to death at the time? I think one of the reasons, and again, I'm speculating here, I do not know the mind of Pius XII, that's for sure. But I would have to think that why he thought it was a good time to define that dogma right now, at the time in 1950, was to provide the ultimate hope, the hope of heaven. Mary has gone before us. She is the ideal Christian. She's the first Christian. She was the first person to say yes to God's plan to save the world through her son, Jesus Christ. And so she goes before us in every way and being taken up into the glories of heaven. That is a sneak preview of what's going to happen to us, Lord willing, if we remain in a state of grace, not just the resurrection, but the fact that we will live in glorified bodies, a new heaven, a new earth. That sounds pretty good to me. And that is the hope of the future. It's not some human utopia. This is the kingdom of God. So James, really good question. I hope at some level that helped to answer that question. Let's go now to Kathy in Simi Valley, California. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I'm calling because I just heard on, maybe about 1 or 2 weeks ago, on a Catholic station on TV about the Assumption, and they had said that Mary had actually died at the age of 60, and that she was assumed into heaven by soul only. All right? And being a cradle Catholic, I remember learning in school long ago that Mary was assumed into heaven body and soul. So
that's right.
And they even showed a picture, a painting, which I don't recall who it's by, on TV, that showed a picture of Mary, you know, laid out dead, and you know, angels and stuff around her, but that she's died, and how they know the age, I mean, I don't know. So that's my question.
That's actually a very good question, Kathy, and I'm glad you asked that, because a lot of people are they're wondering about this. And first of all, just to deal with the whole question about whether it was her soul or her body, it was body and soul. Okay, the total person here. And again, let's go back to the definition from Pius XII in 1950, November 1st, 1950. That's when he promulgated this. Mary, the Immaculate, perpetually virgin mother of God. Now listen to this part. After the completion of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into the glory of heaven. Now note this. Pope Pius XII was very, very careful not to say whether or not she died, because that is actually disputed among Catholic theologians. There is a tradition in the church that says that she did die. There's another tradition that says that she didn't die, that she was just kind of translated to this new phase. Now, why would they say that? Well, because death is really the result of sin. The wages of sin is death, as St. Paul says in the letter to the Romans. She had no original sin. That's what the Immaculate Conception is all about. And church tradition holds that she committed no actual sin. So there's no real need for her to die. So why would she die? Well, if she did die, a lot of theologians who hold that view, they say that she did it not because she had to, but in union with her son. In other words, she laid her own life down in union with her son. That's what they say. But having said that, that's not a matter of faith here. So you're free to hold whatever opinion you want about that. Theologians are split. We don't really know the answer for sure. I guess we'll find out when we get to heaven. We can ask her. But that's it. So hopefully that's an answer to your question. But yeah, she was taken up body and soul. Is there any evidence for this in the Bible? What do you tell your friends who say, I don't see this anywhere in Scripture? We'll get to that later in the show. But first, a quick break right here on Relevant Radio.
I'm with you, and I hope you will answer the call. A call that God has placed in all of our hearts to follow Him. And sometimes that means putting our money where our hearts and our mouths say they are, with our Catholic faith. And today we're asking you to answer the call and join us here at Relevant Radio. We need 150 people this hour during the Cale Clark Show to step forward and say, yes, I will support Relevant Radio financially so that you can continue to do what you do, which is the Cale Clark Show, helping to form and inform you in the Catholic faith, especially on days such as today, the Assumption of Our Lady, and how to defend that dogma of the Church.
Absolutely, and you can do that right now. You can help us keep this mission alive by calling, of course, 877-291-0123. Our pledge drive is called Answer the Call. Well, someone will answer your call. I promise you, if you call this number, 877-291-0123. Friendly voices will pick up that phone and talk to you and tell you how you can help. You can also go online through the website, relevantradio.com, and also through the app. And what I love about what they've done, the digital team this year has made it even easier, more streamlined. It's just so secure. And it's just a great experience. And don't forget, as we talked about, you can get the Father Rocky custom coffee mug if you come in at that $20 a month level, 14-ounce ceramic. And one thing I wanted to say, this is really important to me. It's got a cork bottom on this thing, which kind of means you might have to hand wash it, but that's all right because it's worth it because you don't need a coaster, folks. My wife is always on my case for not using a coaster. Well, with this cup, and maybe they'll be kind enough to send me one. Who knows? But you'll be able to set that down, and maybe I will too. And no damage to any coffee table, anything like that. And you'll be able to sit there, sip your beverage, and listen to all the great programming on Relevant Radio. So we need your gifts. We're counting on you to keep us on the airwaves. And it's a 100%, Timory, matching hour. Just for these last few minutes on the show, your gift will be matched 100%. Any time, any amount during this hour, Timory.
And Kathleen just saw her money double. First time gift she gave online, Greendale, Wisconsin, $25. Thank you, Kathleen, for supporting the Kale Park Show. Yes, and Kathleen, Loretta donated $100 in Pomona, California. Other people are getting that mug. Dennis is it receiving the mug among many others, including Brian, Barbara, and Bernard.
Oh, this is just so amazing. Thank you so much for your support. Everything has been doubled. Every gift is doubled. 877-291-0123. Help us to answer the call on Relevant Radio and also through the app.
You're vital to our mission to bring Christ to the world through the media.
The Relevant Radio Summer Pledge Drive continues.
Answer the call.
Hey, welcome back to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. On the solemnity of the Assumption of Mary, we've been talking about it, how to explain it, how to defend it using scripture and tradition. So I gave you the official definition by Pope Pius XII in 1950. And it's the belief that at the end of her earthly journey, and he was very careful to define, as we talked about, whether or not she died, he didn't say, because that's a matter open to debate. But we do know that at the end of her journey on this planet, God took Mary, body and soul, into the glories of heaven. Now, critics of the Assumption and skeptics and doubters, they want to point out that the New Testament never actually mentions the event. Like, there's no chapter in any of the Gospels or in the letters of Paul where the whole thing is narrated, you know. The apostles gather around and, you know, and Mary just starts to rise up. There are some early church documents that do attempt to talk about this, but it's not in the New Testament. Now, here's the thing. Not all of the truths of the faith that we need to believe, that we need to hold to be Catholic, are explicitly recorded in sacred scripture. And don't forget that we are a religion not so much of the book. We're a religion of the Word of God. Now, ultimately, the Word of God is a person, the God-man, Jesus Christ, the Word of God made flesh. But God's Word comes to us through sacred tradition as well as sacred scripture. And don't forget that before the sacred scripture was written down in terms of the New Testament, it was sacred tradition before that. It was passed on by word of mouth. And the Bible itself was very clear about that. Now, the earliest now, of course, there's the Old Testament, no question about that. But the first New Testament document that was written down is probably one of the letters of St. Paul. A good candidate for this is his first letter to the Thessalonians, which is probably written somewhere around the year AD 50 or 51. That's what scholars tend to say. Now, if Jesus was crucified and resurrected in the year, and some people say it was the year 30 or 33, anyway, somewhere around there, you're looking at about a 20-year period before the first New Testament document was written. Yet, people are becoming believers in Jesus. They're becoming baptized. They're getting into the church. The gospel is spreading. People are being taught. How are they doing this? Through the teaching of the apostles that was passed on by word of mouth. And in one of his letters, St. Paul says that he expected his readers, his listeners, if the letter is being read out loud, to be obedient to the teachings that they were taught. He says, either by word of mouth or by letter. So it all counts. And that word of mouth stuff, of course, is sacred tradition. Now, here's another reason why the New Testament might not have mentioned this, specifically the Assumption of Mary, because it's highly likely that Mary was still alive on earth when many of the New Testament documents, maybe even all of them, depending on how early you want to date them, she might have been still alive when all this stuff was being written. Now, St. Luke, who wrote probably over a quarter of the New Testament, because he's got the Gospel of Luke, and then part two is the Acts of the Apostles, right? And that was kind of his follow-up on early church history. There's a lot of stuff in Luke about Our Lady, and he has her, of course, being present at Pentecost in the Acts of the Apostles. So how do you get all this information on Mary, on the Annunciation? A lot of people think Luke, as careful a historian as he was, probably interviewed Mary himself to ascertain all these details about the events surrounding the Nativity. So that may be another reason why, just out of, she might still be alive when this stuff is being written, and she's still alive in heaven, of course, but you get the point, she hasn't been assumed yet. I also should tell you this, that all Christians, Catholic, Orthodox Christians, and Protestant Christians, all Christians believe that assumptions not only can happen, but they have happened. You have to believe that to be a Christian. Why? Because in Scripture, it talks about other people who were assumed into heaven, body and soul. So whatever your doubts might be about Mary's assumption, you have to hold. If you believe the Bible is the Word of God, as every Christian does or claims to be, then you've got to believe that assumptions do happen. God makes assumptions, if you will. Think about the case of Enoch. Right, now, Enoch is a figure, kind of a shadowy figure, who's mentioned in the Bible. And in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 5, this is the famous sort of Hall of Fame of Faith passage. It talks about Enoch, and it says, he was taken up so that he did not see death, and he was not to be found because God took him up. For before his removal, he had been commended as having pleased God. End of quote. So a lot of people think that Enoch just walked with God, and he was very pleasing with God in his life. He walked with God, and then he just kept on walking right into heaven. That God said, I'm going to beam him up right now, body and soul. I'm going to make the assumption. So a lot of people think that's what that refers to. What about the prophet Elijah? You know about Elijah and his sort of protege, Elisha, right? And what happens? Elijah is taken up into heaven, body and soul, by a chariot of fire and a windstorm. And you can read about this in the books of Kings, in 2 Kings chapter 2. So the prophet Elijah is another example. He's assumed, if you will, into heaven, body and soul. Now, chariot of fire, that's extra flash there. That's pretty cool. There's a number of biblical verses that kind of play into this, that assumptions happen. And you can even talk about one that's not mentioned too often, but in the Acts of the Apostles, what about Philip? Now, Philip doesn't get assumed into heaven here, but he gets transported from one place to another. Remember the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch? He's preaching to him. He baptizes this guy. And when the guy comes up out of the water, it says, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, but he kept going on his way rejoicing, and Philip came to Azotus and went about proclaiming the good news to all the towns until he reached Caesarea. And that's in Acts chapter 8. So you read about that. He kind of gets moved from one place to another by the Spirit. And then, of course, we have the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 12. It says, then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the Ark of his covenant could be seen. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know that. The reading today from the Gospel of Luke was about how Mary is the Ark of the New Covenant. Luke very artfully talks about this, and we don't have time to get into it right now, but he's clearly saying Mary is the Ark of the Covenant. Well, in Revelation 12, the seer, John, sees God's heavenly temple open. He sees the Ark of the Covenant. A great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She gave birth to a son, a male child, destined to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. So that's in Revelation chapter 12. Now, the question is, who is the woman? Now, some people say, well, hold on, the woman is daughter Zion. The woman is Israel, who gives birth to the Messiah, the church. Okay. And some people say that the woman refers to the church. Well, you know what? All three things can be true. It can be Mary, but it can also refer to daughter Zion, Israel. Israel is personified as a woman, just as the church is personified as the bride of Christ. And really, Cardinal Ratzinger, before he became Pope Benedict XVI, he wrote about this. He wrote about daughter Zion. He says, yeah, really, this woman, if it can be Mary, guess what? Mary is an Israelite woman. She is the perfect Israelite woman. So she is daughter Zion personified. So there's no reason why all three things can't be in play here. It's not an either-or thing. So anyways, for what it's worth, a lot of popes throughout history have been very clear on the primary person who's being talked about here in Revelation 12 being Mary when it talks about this sign of the woman in heaven. Let me just read to you really quickly a couple of quotes here. One is from Pope Pius X, and this is when he wrote the encyclical on the Immaculate Conception in 1904. He says this, "A great sign, thus the Apostle St. John describes in a vision divinely sent to him, appears in the heavens, a woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars upon her head." Now listen to this. This is what the Pope says. "Everyone knows that this woman signified the Virgin Mary, the stainless one who brought forth our head." The Apostle continues, "And being with child, she cried, travailing in birth and in pain, crying out in pain to be delivered." So that's Pope Pius X. John Paul II, St. John Paul II, JP II, in his encyclical, which was on Mary, which is called Redemptoris Mater, the Mother of the Redeemer, he says this. He says, "By her ecclesial identification as the woman clothed with the sun in Revelation 12, verse 1, it can be said that in the Most Holy Virgin, the Church has already reached that perfection whereby she exists without spot or wrinkle." So there you have it. John sees her in heaven, clothed with the sun, and clearly the son who she brings forth is Jesus Christ, who rules the nations with a rod of iron. And the Catechism mentions this as well, by the way. So the Catechism identifies the woman as Mary in Revelation 12. So there you have it. Mary being the model for all of us, she is experiencing what we all hope to experience, being in heaven with God, body and soul for all eternity. So if you read early Christian writings, you can read St. John Damascene. He talked a lot about the Assumption of Mary, St. Gregory of Tours. There's lots of chatter about the Assumption in sacred tradition. So even though the dogma wasn't officially defined until 1950, it doesn't mean that Christians didn't believe it, and they had good reason to. It either happened or it didn't. And maybe this is the pièce de résistance here. I'll just leave you with this as well. So many writers have talked about this, that no city in the history of the church ever claimed to have the relics of Mary. It's incredible. When you think about all the churches that have been built over the relics, the bones of the martyrs, St. Peter's in Rome, built over the actual tomb of Peter. They found his bones. Unbelievable. They found his bones there, the chamber where he was buried, and they found it in the 1960s in these underground passageways. It was exactly as the church had always taught, that St. Peter's was built over the tomb of Peter. And the same is true. So many relics of the saints have been said to be at this church or that church. Well, this is the grand prize of all relics. Imagine if someone said, "I have the relics, the bones of the Mother of God," but nobody ever claimed that in the history of the church. That's unbelievable. Nobody even made it up or dared to say, "Oh, we've got them," because they're not to be found. She was taken up body and soul into the glory of heaven. Now, just good corroborating evidence that nobody had them because they didn't exist. So you might have some questions about all this. We will have some time at the end for questions. So you have to take a really quick break right now, but hang with me, and you can call in right now if you want, 888-914-9149. 9149. We'll be right back on the Cale Clark Show on the feast, the solemnity of the Assumption. But right now, we're going to go to a miracle moment.
Changing lives in your neighborhood and across the nation. Here's another Relevant Radio miracle moment.
I had my first confession experience, and for all those Protestants listening, I'm telling you, it was incredible. I was extremely nervous. I've never confessed my sins to another human being really before. I was shaking. I was so nervous. After I confessed, spoke with the priest, I had never felt more relief in my entire life after a confession. Normally, I would just confess directly to God. But I can tell you, you Protestants listening, it is an incredible experience. And I walked away for the first time in my life feeling truly absolved from the sins that I confessed.
This miracle moment was brought to you by you. Help us create more miracle moments with a tax-deductible donation to Relevant Radio. Tap the Relevant Radio app or give online at relevantradio.com.
We're working our way toward our goal. We need 94 people to step forward and answer the call today, and we'll answer your call if you give us a call. It's easy to donate, relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app. The phone number is 1-877-291-0123. Dial, type, tap, support the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio today.
Absolutely. And when you do that, you're going to be supporting life-changing radio, Catholic radio, bringing the gospel, the light of Jesus Christ to the world through the media. It's so important that we do this. And really, when you do call and donate right now during this hour, not only is your gift going to be matched 100%, but it's kind of your vote of confidence. If you want the show to stay on the air, if you've benefited from it, if you've grown through it, please support it. That's what we ask. We don't sell anything here on Relevant Radio. But we do want to give away the gospel free of charge for anyone who needs to hear it. And that's all of us, by the way. That is all of us. Now, one thing I wanted to mention today is that if you donate online, if you go to the Relevant Radio app, or if you go to relevantradio.com, we want to give you a very special thank you gift. And by the way, when you donate online, there is no lineup. You don't have to worry about being put on hold. We're going to give you a very special thank you gift. It's a new talk. It's an MP3 talk, a digital talk by Father Rocky about Eucharistic revival. You know, Cardinal Dolan in New York City, he talked about 10 resolutions for reviving a lively faith and practice of the Eucharist in the church. The bishops of this country have really called for a Eucharistic revival. So Father Rocky's going to walk you through it as only he can. And maybe you can even sip out of your Father Rocky coffee mug as you're listening to this. You get that when you donate online. And don't forget, any gift is matched 100%. If you give $5,000, and there's some people out there today who have the ability, who have been blessed by God to make a bigger gift, that will become $10,000. $10,000 becomes $20,000. We'll get closer and closer to our goal. And you can help us do it by calling 877-291-0123 or going to the app or relevantradio.com. Timory.
Cale, what's your favorite part about the work you're doing here at Relevant Radio?
You know, it's really humbling when we get phone calls from people who say that they've gone to confession for the first time in maybe decades, or they've come into the church. In fact, we had a message from somebody who came from Mormonism into the Catholic Church from listening to this program, and it's all the Holy Spirit. We don't have much to do with it, but it's really humbling to be those vessels and to help people to get closer and closer to Jesus, Timory.
If you want to support the work of Cale Clark, how inspired and called he is to help draw souls to Christ, please call now 1-877-291-0123. Answer the call to support Relevant Radio. Donate online, the Relevant Radio app, or relevantradio.com.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back to the program. If you want to call in, if you have a take on anything we were talking about with respect to the Assumption of Mary, today's great solemnity feast day, call in right now, 888-914-9149. And as you're doing that, we're going to play for you what you might have missed last week. It's the week that was on the Cale Clark Show. Here you go. It's your boyfriend, Cale Clark, back with you on Relevant Radio. I got to be careful. I am married, so I shouldn't say. I'll just be your friend. How about that? One thing I encountered on my journey to Prince Edward Island in Nova Scotia, we ran into a lot of hospitable people. Maritime hospitality, Here's another myth about hospitality, is that only married and well-off people with large homes can actually practice hospitality. St. Paul was obviously a single person. You know, he had the gift of celibacy. He didn't have a large house. I mean, he was flat broke most of the time. And well, when he was imprisoned in Rome, he lived there for 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him. You know, if you're listening to this program in North America, don't say, well, you know, maybe my house isn't well suited for hospitality, or what are people going to think of the drapes if I invite them over for lunch after Mass or something like that. Don't think that way. Don't think that way. Just be yourself, gather people in. That's what St. Paul did, and we should do that as well. I don't know about you, but whenever I take a day off or if I'm on vacation, I sometimes have a hard time disconnecting. We're always dealing with problems, right? I mean, I always say life is a problem-making machine. That's really what it is. Each day is kind of like a mini lifetime, right? Every night, it's when we go to sleep, it's like preparing for death, that eternal sleep, and looking forward to the resurrection of the next day, if you will.
If you build it, he will come.
Just gives you the chills every time you see the entrance of the ball players in last year's game. It was just really classy how they do it. Kevin Costner was there, and the players of the New York Yankees and the Chicago White Sox who played in last year's Classic, they came out of the cornfield just like in the movie, just like the players in Field of Dreams. It was just amazing. Joining me now is an associate professor of history at Christendom College. Dr. Christopher Shannon is my guest. And Dr. Shannon, whenever I interview a guest, I like to start with what I like to call their superhero origin story.
In terms of superhero origin story, I think I'm still kind of stuck in Peter Parker mode. You know, I haven't been bitten by the radioactive spider yet. For Catholics, in the end, salvation history simply is human history. It's not our particular private story. It's the story of mankind. And, you know, again, we have to be very careful how we tell it. And we certainly cannot tell that story apart from facts. You can't make things up, and you can't gloss over, again, unpleasant realities.
Beth Moore was trending. Hundreds of thousands of people have had their knickers in a knot over something that she said on Twitter. She tweeted, "I'm growing grapes for reals. It's like a miracle in 50 jillion degree weather. If Jesus is trying to get me to have a crush on him, it's working."
You had me at hello. You had me at hello.
Some people are really, really upset that she said this. Mark is calling from Pinellas Park, Florida.
I think she's just being funny. The Lord made the sense of humor. I think sometimes when somebody steps outside the box, has a sense of humor, sometimes it rubs people the wrong way.
Yeah, that's true, Mark. I think a lot of people certainly are a little humorless. So let me go now to Steve in Minnesota.
Well, this is a great example for me personally of why I am stepping away from Protestantism. I'm gravitating toward Catholicism. I'm all about approaching the throne room of God's grace, but I think this kind of, hey, you know, high five God and you know, making God so contemporary. He's our Savior. He died on the cross. He suffered for us. He is the triune God.
Thank you very much for that call. And I'm so thankful also that Relevant Radio has been such a help to you on your journey. This is what Relevant Radio does. That is the week that was on the Cale Clark Show. My thanks to producer Jim Shaper for running that up for us. Wow, what an incredible week we had. We're going to have another great one this week. If you missed any of those shows, you can always download the podcast on the Relevant Radio app or on the website, wherever you get your podcasts. We are there as well. We'll get to more assumption questions tomorrow. Believe it or not, we're already out of time. God bless you. Hang tight. Timmy's going to join me in just a second.
It's great to be here with Cale Clark. We need you to answer the call and support us here at Relevant Radio. You can give us a call. We'll answer 1-877-291-0123. But if you give online, it's easier, less manpower, and you actually receive a special gift on the Eucharistic Revival. So please, if you do, we'll send you that audio, relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app. We're looking for 150 people to step up this hour. We have 89 people to go, and we have 5 minutes. So quick dial,
you can do
tap
it.
That app. You can do it. Support the Cale Clark Show here on Relevant Radio.
Absolutely. 1-877-291 0123 is the number to call as you answer the call to help keep us on the airwaves. You know, Timory, what one thing I can't believe about the United States is how early school starts. I mean, in Canada, we don't start till after Labor Day, which I think is the way it should be, right, kids?
Yes, we need our summers, right? The sunny, sunny days.
Yeah, so as school is starting up, you know, it's a great time to remind everybody that Relevant Radio really gives you an ongoing education in the Catholic faith. We're all learning together. That includes me and includes Timory. And we do this all free of charge. Anybody can log in to the website, to the app, and get all this great stuff all day long on Relevant Radio. And the way that you can help somebody kind of get a free tuition so that we can continue to give this away for free is to be like these donors that universities have that kind of donate behind the scenes to keep the education going, to keep the institution going. And so we want to keep learning. We want other people to be able to keep learning about the Catholic faith. And the only way we can do this as a nonprofit, and your donation is tax deductible. Don't forget, we're a 501c3 organization. Every dollar is tax deductible that you donate to Relevant Radio. We can keep that Catholic education going over the airwaves, over the internet, for free for everyone. So won't you help us do that right now? 877-291-0123, or go to the app or go to the website, relevantradio.com, and you'll get that special gift that you can only receive if you give online. So that's the catch. But one thing I will tell you is no matter how you give, whether it's by the phone, the app, or the website, your dollars will be matched 100%. You can double your impact here over the next 3 minutes. Don't waste this opportunity, Timory.
Lucia just gave for the first time to Relevant Radio from Torrance, California, $250.
Thank you,
Lucia. And Jay Michael just gave $10. He's a new donor as well in Florida. Yes,
awesome.
Thank you. So please give now, 1-877-291-0123, relevantradio.com, the Relevant Radio app. Kale, I'd love to hear one of the neatest stories you've heard from a listener who has started following their faith or maybe listening to your program, because I know I get to hear from people every single day and their stories absolutely amaze me. And I'd like to hear a little bit about your stories and how Kale Clark's show has impacted individuals.
Well, you know, we just heard a really good one in the Week That Was segment, and a gentleman that's making the journey into the Catholic Church. And I think one of the great things about Relevant Radio is when you hear about all these lives change and you hear these miracle moments that we play every hour, we hear these testimonials, we really see that when you give to Relevant Radio, you're making an act of hope. You're making an act of hope because you're just sort of trusting that somebody out there is going to have their lives changed by this. And it does happen every single day. That hope is rewarded abundantly. It's also an act of faith. And a lot of people out there are sacrificially giving. And that is something that God honors. And it's not so much about the amount. It's about the intention. And some people can afford to give a little. Some people can afford to give a lot. But the important thing is, God loves a cheerful giver, and he will reward you for your faith. It's an act of faith. It's also an act of love because it's a way to share your faith with other people in a really practical way. We can't be everywhere at every time to reach everyone, but through Relevant Radio, we can multiply the voice of the church so that people hear it everywhere in the world through the internet and through the radio, of course, and that's kind of our bread and butter here. 877-291-0123 through the app or through relevantradio.com, Timory.
Thomas, Mike, Linda, thank you so much for supporting us. You're next. 1-877-291-0123. Last moment, relevantradio.com to support the Kale Clark Show.